Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradford. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford.
You put together Wiggy, Reamer, and Bradford on Sunday mornings.
I did not.
Like a terrible idea.
The Wiggy thing is strange to me. He's not the best one on the show, so why is he on twice when I'm on once?
Well, you hear what Reamer said about you on Friday?
That's because he's a fraud.
Bradford Show.
Reamer needs to work as being a number one host.
2 hour a week guy at most.
Wiggy talking baseball. That's going to be a social experiment in and of itself.
Yeah, I don't know how many of his bathhouse stories I can take.
Bradford's going to want to talk baseball.
It's stretch drive, Chris.
You are Rob Callahan Bradford.
I get bonused on the success of our morning show. If we get sound of Wiggy, Bradford, and Reamer, that is absolute goldmine.
Well, maybe.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So we don't even hit the air, and you two are already critiquing
terrible.
Me. What was terrible? We didn't even do anything
yet. Can you play back that?
Was a promo?
What is that?
It was an
that?
Ad read at the top of the hour.
That?
What's the issue?
Can you play that back, John? It was terrible.
Well,
it was
terrible? Awful. What? Terrible ad read?
I'm very honest.
Yes. Okay. He had no energy.
99% of the things you
this
do.
This hour of Reamer, Bradford, right. And Wiggy is brought to you by Concord and Littleton Lumber, your local Anderson Windows dealer.
What
if
is
you think that was
that?
Bad, you should wait for the next one, because I'm going to play the unedited version.
So please don't do that, John. Our sponsors are very important to us.
No, we love the sponsors. That's why we're trying to give them the best the best version of
this hour of Remo.
Remo. It should be Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradford, too. That's why you're probably upset.
What?
I think the show is officially
featuring Bradford and Reamer.
Right, then you're new host, Jermaine.
One of us has a title to a show, and that is the person sitting in this seat. This is the Bradford Show with others.
Reamer,
congratulations.
Reamer. It's the Reamer Show.
I don't know if we can.
All right, so we'll re-record those spots during the break. Then we'll see if the energy is up to par.
Somebody listening in the car, they're like, "Really? I don't want to listen to this."
Don't it's be easy. It's a religious day. Not swear in the air.
I don't think energy is a problem with this show. I don't think that's going
to
be
bring
a problem.
It
there are going to be many problems with it, but I don't think energy, judging by last
I
week.
I know two problems with this show. Okay. One and a half.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for saying I'm a half. But between the infighting of you guys, the athletic achievements of you guys.
Lit the world on fire.
The intelligence of myself. Yes. All of it. I don't think it's going
to
be a problem.
I mean, lit the world on fire. The race that was...
It's just the start.
You're doubling down on dumbness.
We were.
It led to a huge media war between you and Kurt Schilling.
Big Schill, I know. Yeah. Big Schill taking your side.
Come to find out, he was one of your heroes growing
he
up.
He was.
I read that.
It was. It was a pathetic attempt at reconciliation. Yes. But you know, it is true. I would
stop
sit downstairs.
Sucking up, man, grow some balls. He's already said that your wife's going to have the balls and listen.
And she definitely will. I can guarantee you that.
If you're not a fan of Schilling, just hold your end of the line.
I don't really like him.
Punch
but I told him I would meet him anywhere at the Chick-fil-A, his World War II, a memorabilia collection, whatever he wants to do.
Oh, you're going to meet him at the collection?
Yeah, at the collection.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
The Natick collection in my hometown.
Make sure you let people know that's to have a discussion, because when you first said I'll meet him anywhere, it's like, okay, we can meet him anywhere and settle it like, the old fashioned.
No, I don't want to do that at all. No,
I'm not
interested in violence.
Are you going to race Kurt Schilling?
I would definitely race Kurt Schilling. I feel like I could beat him, despite my horrific showing last week.
But he has the bad ankle, though.
Right. That's why I feel more confident than ever with you.
So as we know from the show, we drive the narrative for the entire week.
We do.
And that's exactly what we
do. As Chris Curtis said, though, Rob, you were a little too energetic with your...
A little we don't do the two-hour tease, no?
Setting the dialogue for the city of Boston is sort of why I do it.
But so this is just the beginning. The race is just the beginning because we're going to get the next race sponsored because there was so much controversy.
Correct.
You want to integrate Mutt. Who wants to integrate Mutt?
Yes, Mutt is the one that said...
You want to have a playing game.
Well, listen, I'm already the king of the race. I beat Reamer Fair and square.
No, I am contesting the result.
Okay. A mustache and like
he actually cheated, right? He left early, and it's not my fault that he's decided to slow down.
Well, I'm a nice guy,
but
contrary to popular belief.
But I slowed down at the end, so I gave you an opportunity to catch up, which you weren't able to do. And then Mutt threw his name into the ring, because then he had to do what he does, is open his mouth, right? And then
think about that question.
And he said, oh, look at these two slow. So I said, all right, if he wants a piece of me, he's got to race Reamer.
Playing game.
Yeah, that would be a competitive race.
Right. If he can beat Reamer, then he has the opportunity to sit at the table with the king.
So that table that we're talking about sitting at, this is not going to be on some street just thrown together. This is going to be a stadium. It's going to be a five-camera shoot. This is going to be an enormous crowd, and this is going to be sponsored. So
right.
I would say to people who want to sponsor this event,
call
on in now, because right. This is going to be a big time
event. And what I would even throw out there is not at a stadium. We should do it in a casino. You know, they got plenty. Yeah.
Twin River, perhaps?
I don't know. There's Twin River. There's casinos around here. I will say that.
So
you're in a casino. I'm knowing they could probably put some odds on it. You know, clearly I'm going to be favored. We could do it.
Wiggy. I'm looking to still shot that Bradfo tweeted last night. I do look more jacked than you
That was the.
Wait a second. You look more. You're just lighter than me. I got to lose a few.
Look at this build here.
Few pounds.
Cut.
I'm going to be getting with Bradfo.
Oh, yeah. Wiggy 180.
Well, it's Wiggy 180. Let Mark James tell you. That's what we're calling it.
Okay. All right. Sure.
So I got to gain like 90 pounds, and maybe I can get a weight loss sponsorship here.
Well, that was holding you back, not enough weight.
No, not this race. I'm saying my bank account would appreciate it.
Oh, well, if you go bald, if you
I'm gonna go bald and gain like 90 pounds.
I've mastered that. So we are going to do that, as Wiggy said. We want the casino, we want the betting line on it. Eventually, there's going to be a 5-camera shoot.
It's going to be
a big deal. And if anyone wants to get involved in it, this is the time to do it. But it was a wild success, as we know.
Huge success.
Yes, huge success. And also, I'll break down the film. But one of the things I noticed as well. Wiggy clearly knew how you got in a 3-point stance.
Right.
Right? Or a 4-point stance.
Not his first rodeo.
You did it for show. You were basically like looking up and I can get down.
I was off balance.
In a 4-point stance. Wiggy had his head down and he propelled forward, which begs the question, Wiggy, what happened? Why were you not drafted? Like, what is going on? If you can run a 40 that fast now, like, what happened?
What do you mean? I just wasn't drafted. There's a lot of players.
This is a sensitive subject.
No, it wasn't. No, because I knew when I was coming out of college, I probably knew that I wasn't going to be drafted. If anything, I'd sneak into the late, seventh round. So that wasn't like a thing of mine. Just a guy that people felt like I wasn't a draft prospect.
Did you have a draft party?
I didn't have a draft
party.
I had people over the house, but it wasn't really a draft party.
Were you sad on that day?
Was it the equivalent of Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Did you have your own green room?
No, I was interested in kind of like watching it, so it wasn't like I had a draft party.
Just hanging out with his friends, maybe, right?
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah, I was hanging at my mother's house, and he's
and Boston. We have a scouting report as well.
I was fascinated by this. Why you weren't drafted? Because obviously you had a very good NFL career,
right?
I go down that list.
Well,
of
you got to understand, I was 6'2" and some change, right? I wasn't the biggest guy. I wasn't the fastest guy. Back then, when I played, they were looking for the prototype 6'4", 6'5" tight end. So I didn't fit the mold.
Those tight ends who were drafted in that 99 draft stunk.
Right, I understand that, but the mold that they were looking for, I didn't necessarily fit. I wasn't invited to the combine. So
you had a pro day at Georgia?
Yes, and so Champ Bailey was in my class, and I was able to kind of piggyback off of Champ Bailey being there. And I put up good numbers, and I did everything. I was more of the guy that I needed the opportunity to prove myself, because people weren't just going to say, oh, I had a good college career, but people weren't going to say, he's a high prospect.
Well, fortunately,
he's a scrapper, Wiggy.
Fortunately, because this is what I do, while you guys go out and do whatever you do on your Saturday nights, I dig into the internet to find out exactly what the scouts were saying about. You have the little draft capsules? I found yours.
I could tell you what the sculpture's saying.
Well, I found yours for $19.99.
And we're going to read this later on.
We'll read a little bit later.
Good. I'm looking forward to
that. Because the draft is coming up.
Yes.
Thursday night. Big night for the Patriots. Oh, Ryan Hannibal says on WEI.com, Pats will trade down probably.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Which I think will anger the masses. It'll certainly anger me.
And there's a chance that the Patriots might take a tight end in the first round.
There you go.
They may.
The next Jermaine Wiggins.
You know, they should bring you in for some consulting with the tight ends.
If you haven't listened to the Wiggy and Callahan show in the morning, you might never heard my story.
Can I get a t-shirt at least? If I'm getting booted off of the show, can I at least get some apparel out of it?
Yeah,
or no?
We'll see if we can get see if we make them shirts that small.
Extra small, yes. Although Rob, have you seen Rob's Bradfo show shirts?
Yeah.
Lord Hobo Brewing?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody and their mother has one of these shirts, except me. I still don't have one.
Here's the old one. Here's the original
Bradfo. Yeah,
you need a little bit more than that. I have more than that. No, I mean, it's just an at sign and it's Bradfo.
At Bradfo.
Right.
I mean, that's all people need to know.
Well, simple, easy. You're refined, really.
Exactly.
I think your marketing could be better in the sense
it's getting there.
Of what people are seeing. You know, mine's had Wiggy Callahan and a monkey on it, so it's really attractive to the eye.
Really. I was drawn to it, Wiggy. But the draft is coming up. You are clearly going to consult for some team.
Well, you know, I was a part of the Seymour coming to New England.
How so?
Because Belichick asked me when I was in the hallway back in 2001. Uh-huh. I played at Georgia, so Richard Seymour was one of my teammates, and so was Amarcus Stroud, and both of those guys were coming out at the same time, and they were both of them were very sought after defensive linemen, right. High draft pick status.
Yep.
And Belichick asked me in the hallway one day, he said, "Hey, you played with both of these guys. What's the difference? You know, what's the difference between the two? Who do you think, you know, if you're looking at just, you know, what type of style of player are they?" So I kind of gave him Seymour, in my opinion, was able to do more. They both had the good size, but he was a little bit more athletic than Stroud.
So what percentage do we give you the responsibility for Seymour, and what percentage are we giving Belichick?
I would say it's probably 50-50.
50-50.
It was weird how when you get to the podium, so we're drafting Richard Seymour despite Jermaine Wiggins.
Despite his recommendation.
I actually said Seymour because Seymour, they were both just like 6'6", 280 pounds, but Seymour could do more. I think he was a little bit more athletic, where Stroud was a little bit more of a guy that could just sit there and clog up the run. Yes. Seymour could get
you. It was a big hit.
I'm left with one question. Is there anything you haven't done? I mean, I looked up, your Wikipedia page said that you actually have renovated houses.
I've done a lot.
Been on some reality show.
Wiggy reminds me of the kind of guy, though, who would update his own Wikipedia page. Have you done that? I do.
I told you I do that. And I take my...
Well, you better do it, because it hasn't been done in a while.
And I take my positive tweets to Joey.
You do. Why do you do that?
Because I want...
Could you call me a weasel and a rat? That is the definition of a rat move.
Why? But I'm not going behind anybody's back. I'm not trying to expose anybody.
It's a teacher's pet move.
Boss,
look, they like me. They like me. They really like me.
No, it's like, you know, it's like being a capo for, you know, a mob boss, right? You got to show them that you're willing to do what it takes to climb up the ladder. So I show them, hey, here's all the bodies I got, you know, in a good sense. Always the idiot. All the positive tweets. Hey, this is what the streets are saying, Joey. Hey, this is what the streets
are
saying.
I do the same. On the rare occasion in which I get a positive email, I almost always tell them, joe.zarbano in our
comments. Do you really?
Pretty much,
What's wrong with you?
Why? I need the positive affirmation.
Between the two of you, you're so desperate. What's going on?
I'm not like, I don't need the affirmation.
Hey, I don't
know. You're positioning yourself for a job.
I don't print out a text, though, which I heard you do as well. Is that accurate?
You print out these people? Listen.
From the 781?
It's about trying.
How do you even do that?
You got it. Yeah. Curtis showed me how to do it. It's a couple different buttons, right?
So Curtis is assisting you in this process.
Right. Well,
wow.
You know why? It's because in radio, right, it's about making the listeners happy. Right? Making sure you're doing what the listeners...
I disagree.
As thick as can be.
As they say in Private Parts, Howard Stern's movie, those who like Howard listened for X amount of times. Those who say they hate Howard listened for double the amount of time.
It's
they like being miserable.
They like being miserable and angry. But exactly.
The people that don't like you, they got to want to listen to you. So
right.
There's a difference, you know? Oh. So what I'm trying to do is just get Joey to see, hey, man, the streets are talking, bro. The streets are talking.
I make the streets talk about myself as well, you know, Wiggy? So no, we got some competition
there.
You got
no street cred,
and
man.
It's vitriol. I didn't say I have street cred.
The streets
although
are not
I do live right off Mass Ave in Melnick House Boulevard, as I've explained to you.
And the streets are not talking about you.
they're certainly not.
If anything, they're hearing you and going, damn, let me change the channel.
They see me walk, run, slash, skip, and they're like, we got to get away from this guy. So, Wiggy, you're very prescient with the Seymour Marcus Stroud scouting report. Let me tie this to what's happening today, Rob. We have a huge sports day.
I spun that right
in
to
Boston.
Three
games. We're going to focus here. Bruins, game 6. Celtics, game 4. Where do we want to start? You're wearing your Celtics hat today, Wiggy.
Maybe we could start, because I got a little bit of fire that I want to spit towards.
Oh, nice.
The Sunday Skate Crew?
No, not the Sunday Skate Crew. the one they call Angry Framingham Lou about something.
Thank you.
He said,
good.
And I got to give Mutt some credit, too.
Okay, so let me set the table here. So Lou went off on you and Mutt a couple days ago because you both... I'm still having a hard time understanding this
I set it up.
You said that Pasternak did not change his line.
No, I said I was on with the Dalian and Keith.
Right, exactly.
And
the Dalian, that's what we're dubbing
it
now?
Yeah, that's the Dalian. Yeah. And I said, you do not take Pasternak off the first line.
Right.
Don't take Pasta off that line.
Right. Keep no him line where switching.
It's all about the cohesion. He's had a great year. Don't take him off the line. They end up taking him off the line. But then he scores a goal. But when he scored the goal, it wasn't on the power play, Lou. Get your facts straight. Do you know what a power play is? Clearly he doesn't, because he doesn't know anything about hockey.
He has never played in the media game.
When Pasta scored his first goal, and this was game... What game did they just play?
Game five.
This was game four.
Game four.
When he scored his first goal, it wasn't on a power play. It wasn't on him jumping on or anything like that. It was happened. He got caught on the line with Marchand and Bergeron.
And he tipped in the
And
the
he
shot.
Tipped in the first goal. His second goal came off the power play.
Great shot.
Right,
which great one-timer.
But his 5-on-5 goal came when he was on the line with Bergeron and Marchand.
So let's have Lou in his own words before you go back at him here.
I shouldn't even have to defend myself, because any Bruins fan knows out there, after watching the game,
you were right,
that Heinen went up, Pasternak came down. Yes, they scored. It was a shift change. Marchand and Bergeron were out there. Pasta jumped on. He took the second goal was a power play, guys. You understand what a power play is?
What is a power
That's
play?
When the Bruins have
Explain
five
that.
Guys. They have four.
So you actually have power
so the Bruins
over the
have
other
two
team.
Power play units.
Yeah, but we're
so
not
do you know
talking
what a power play is? Explain
yeah,
it,
Wiggy. But I was talking about the first goal.
Give me the icing rule.
The first goal. Oh, the icing rule is this, right? If player A decides to shoot the puck from behind the red line on his own end.
To where?
To pass the goal line without the intention of one of his teammates being able to make a play or an opposing player make a play on the puck. Therefore, it's an icing.
So the man has icing.
You
do
don't
not
get
question.
That on Sunday skate.
You do
not.
Yeah,
you
do not question the man's icing.
Neither one of these guys watched the game.
Yeah, so I know the high. Listen, I know the high slot. I know the top of the dot. I know the half boards.
How about top of the key? No, that's basketball.
That's
right?
Basketball. That's basketball. I know below the goal line.
The dirty areas, got to get those dirty areas.
I know
week.
The toe drag.
So let me help. So you're saying you were talking about the first goal, not the power
now,
play.
I'm not talking about the power play goal. That power play goal came on the power play. I know what that is.
Okay.
I'm talking about the first goal. The first goal, it came on. Granted, it might have been caught in a line and a line change where he jumped on for Heinen.
True.
But the point of the matter was he was able to make a play when he was on that line with Bergeron and Marchand.
Well, I think what happens here a lot, which is there's some good-natured miscommunication, and we
good
can all
natured.
Get along and go
it's
from here.
It's the definition of good nature.
If he watched the game last night, he would have clearly saw when Cassidy got desperate, who did he put on the line with Bergeron and Martian last night? And not last night's game, but two nights ago.
Stan Jonathan.
He put Pasta back
Pasta,
up with
right.
that line.
Pasta, though, is invisible in game five Friday.
But
invisible.
Sat, he had him on the Krejci line, but towards the end of the game, he put him on
so,
the line.
So Wiggy comes in.
My argument, though, would be
head to toe.
Real quick, though, who would know and who would care about the line changes?
Good-natured miscommunication.
I heard you guys talking about that, you and Jerry. And
yes.
You can play around with that all you want. There are people
there
out there. that actually say, oh, you know, when they're talking about...
When you're watching the game with your boys, you go, oh, what line is Pastrnak on?
Listen,
dude, switch Pastrnak, good switch there.
You're talking about your boys and Jerry's boys.
Right. You, very same crew, by the way, me and
you
Jerry.
You guys, listen, you and your boys are not talking sports. Exactly.
Pastrnak. Was he benched last night?
I don't know if Jerry...
Answer that question.
And I don't know if Jerry's boys are still on the face of the earth, because his boy, it's been a long time.
They're a little old.
Yeah, a little old.
They're out there.
But there are guys, you know...
Don't buy the green bananas.
Yeah, those are Jerry's boys. But there are plenty of guys out there that'll talk about the game and line combinations, that kind of, that stuff.
Seems
happens.
A little wonky for me.
No, it's not. It's just you're in a
I'm
bubble.
I'm surface level.
Well, you're in a bubble.
I have no second layer.
Wiggy is dressed from head to toe Celtic. So
true.
This get past the particulars of what you're talking about. I think that you and Lou can kiss and make up, which is, I'm sure you have already.
Yeah,
right?
I don't have a problem with
that. Okay, so Bruins win or not?
Bruins, they... In Toronto, I think this is it.
Good
for
take.
Them. I think this is it for them.
They're in Toronto. Yes.
Yeah. Let me.
Clearly, you don't know anything about hockey.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the Toronto gets them.
I agree. I think the Maple Leafs win too because they've really controlled this entire series. Even Game 4, they had more shots on net than the Bruins. More pressure. Right. That third period Friday, the Bruins were invisible in that entire period. The Leafs have dominated the series.
More of a sense of urgency when you look at the way the Leafs have been playing.
And then the
what do you say,
the
Rob?
The next question is...
Well, you answer your question.
Right. One second. Okay. The Bruins
he wants to throw questions up, but he don't want to answer.
I don't. I'm the mediator. The Bruins,
you mean the moderator.
Whatever. The Bruins get eliminated. Which gets higher ratings? Celtics playoffs or behind the B?
Oh, behind the B.
The draft
10
conference.
Times out of 10.
Yes?
10 times out of 10.
No, okay. Celtics playoffs. Celtics are rolling.
Bruins will win. Bruins will win.
And then Game 7's Tuesday at the Garden. 617-779-7937. Yes, so Bruins, Leafs, Game 6, 3:30. Celtics, Pacers, 1 o'clock. David Price as well, Rob. Your Red Sox.
Oh, my goodness.
The first
best
series
pitcher on the Red Sox
of the year.
Staff right now.
I'm not arguing with you, Wiggy. Right. The other one, his elbow just fell off. So, yeah.
And we'll tell you about all of that and more until 1 o'clock. Reamer, Wiggy. And Bradfo. I'm still first, though. But before we do all that, let's hit a trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I heard you talking about the reseeding in with Tampa Bay.
I made a mistake. I apologize.
And I'm like, yes, get Columbus.
I apologize to you 1,000 times, Wiggy. Is that okay?
I don't know if that's sincere.
It's not a bit. I screwed up. I mean,
can I get a little more?
Wiggy, I heard you yesterday afternoon with Lou Merlone sounding like a fool about hockey line
company. Are you going to address the reseeding here for the first?
I just said I screwed up. I already said that.
But you tried to move on pretty quickly. Right. I thought we could live in it.
No, I just said I'm not going to apologize.
Well, why not? Apologies?
Why not? Yeah, that's not an apology. He's attacking you. Is what it sounds like.
Right. It sounds like you get defensive.
Right. That's what Jerry says we're supposed to do.
Well, don't listen to Jerry. Don't listen to Jerry. Never mind.
Jerry's a grouchy old man.
Yeah.
So we covered a Wiggy versus Lou earlier in the show, right off the top. Although you kind of turtled and said you have no lingering resentment against Lou.
No, I didn't say
it's
that.
It's like an ex-athlete code or something.
I could beef with somebody and not, you know, keep moving on.
I don't know.
Look, you guys are here today.
Right. I think I do a show with you every Sunday. Right?
Against
every
your
Sunday.
Will, though. You've never complimented me.
There
either.
Is.
Like, huh? compliment
I did
Lou.
Compliment you on your story that you wrote about...
Shilling.
No, it wasn't the Shilling.
Oh. Manny.
Yes, your Manny story.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah. See, Wiggy reads WAI.com like you should.
So apologize to me for that.
there is a lot of vitriol between you two, and it's not made up either. Because before the show, I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Cut it with a knife.
Tension. John Anderson, you've heard this too, right? When those two are in the booth before the show, we're waiting for Sunday Skate to end. I mean, these two, they do not like each other.
You can cut the tension with a knife. I'm going to be
I already said
that.
As I
said.
It's kind of uncomfortable for Rob.
I don't get uncomfortable. And I'm not never uncomfortable in certain situations.
My whole life is made of uncomfortable situations.
Unless a police officer. I know Wiggy doesn't mind making people uncomfortable because when I coached him in the media hockey game, when he was telling the poor little kid from Bangor, Maine to get off the ice.
Right.
And I'm trying to manage the clubhouse, the locker room.
And, very toxic in the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. I came away. I said, you know what Wiggy is? He is the typical pickup basketball guy. There's always one guy. There is always one guy.
That's good, though, hey?
No, it's not. It makes you not want to show up the next day.
Right, but hey, if you're on my team, there's a good chance you're going to win.
But here's a.
I would trade that off.
Here's a question, though. Is there more tension, Wiggy, between me and you or between you and Dale when you and the Dalian are together? Because I heard Dale, that clip.
Yeah.
I think Dale dislikes you more than I
Dale,
do. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know what it is. It's the
Dalian.
He does
not like you at all.
Yeah, the Dalian.
He boots you after
like
2 hours.
2 hours. I only get 2 hours. Sometimes an hour and 50 minutes. And then I get.
If they run late.
Yeah, you see how he tried to blow right through the speed sign of my apology. Thank you for Rich Keefe for being there and saying, hold on. Wait a second here, Dale.
And I agree with you there. Dale's a hockey expert. People like myself who are, you know, relatively new to the game, don't know the ins and outs. We rely on Dale.
What you said in your job interview. You didn't say you were new to the game.
Of hockey?
Yeah.
That was the first question.
Oh, my
goodness. What are your thoughts on the Bruins? For the layman out there. I mean, that we rely on Dale, and he got the seeding wrong.
Well, I told him he was 0-2. First, once I heard him say that there was a guarantee that Rob Gronkowski was going to come back because of his sources. I was like, yes. You know, I went out. I text all my boys like, yo, Gronk's coming back.
Yeah, because Dale's responsible. He's not like this hot take artist who just throws stuff out there. He's a responsible guy.
Right. When he says he has sources, I'm like, okay,
you believe him.
He knows something, right? You know, and Jerry told me he kind of lives up in that area, up in the Foxborough area.
He's in the orbit.
PB12.
Right. So I'm like, great. I'm like, yo, the Dalian got some connects. So I took that. I ran with it. Boom. That blew up in my face. And then with the whole receding thing, you know, I mean, I know a little bit about the game, but I don't really get into the minutiae of the receding and all that other stuff.
You rely on Dale for that.
Yeah, I rely on Dale. Like the same way I rely on, you know, Bradford with my baseball stuff.
There you go. And 1-for-2 isn't bad.
It's true. Yeah. Dale, though, legitimately pissed that you called him out on that.
I asked for an apology in the hallway. You know what he told me?
What?
He told me to go bleep myself.
Oh, my goodness. It's totally wild.
I imagine I could have, if I took that to heart, I could have went to
HR. And you are right. I will agree with you here, too. I think Dale is grouchier than Jerry.
Yes.
In the grouchy old guy competition.
Yeah, Jerry's grouchy. Jerry's like, he's old and grouchy, but it's more because the way I keep Jerry happy every now and then, he's like that grouchy old man at the corner that, you know, is, you know, chasing away pigeons.
Right.
The way I keep him happy is I'll send him a tweet every now and then of, like, something that is in Trump's favor.
That's what you got to do. Or keep saying, Gino Jerry read this great article on this website, The Daily Caller. Yes. Fantastic.
And then attached
stuff.
To that is Wiggins was really, really good today. So
it was great. It's great. It brings energy. We fight. We talk with people. So we are both on the record. The Bruins lose today.
Yes.
Maple Leafs.
Yes.
Why did the Bruins win
on the record?
On the road.
Are you going to skip right over the fact that I said the Bruins are going to win?
Why?
Why?
Yes.
Because I want to see a game 7.
Well, that's not a reason.
It sure is.
Me and Wig are giving you nuanced analysis.
They are more talented.
Get into the X's and O's of
Let's
hockey.
Let's go here.
Sure. can you recite the icing rule once again? It's not that complicated. They were 0-0 going into the third period. It was, and they are the more talented team. Yeah, they have a little bit of a hiccup. They give up those goals. Fine. They have a little lapse.
They are not going to have a lapse
in game 6.
They had it in game 5, and they had it for an inopportune minute
or a couple minutes. They didn't
score for the whole game.
And it's like
they did.
At the end, they lost.
Well, yes, that's called those goals count.
Yeah, well,
yeah, they did. And that
too
was
late.
That was a pretty good. They
were awoken.
That was a
much
really
like our Lord
good,
and Savior.
Really
yes.
good goal by Krejci.
May he rise again.
Really good goal by Krejci off the assist of Pasta, my boy, right there.
There you go.
The problem is with the Bruins here. And I've said this, and this is what Dale and I had an argument, was that when you look at the consistency of the Bruins play, it's been so inconsistent this series. You know, thank God you've had Tuukka the way he's played, because this series could be over if it wasn't for the way that...
Yeah, Tuukka, though, a little slow on that second Maple Leafs goal on Friday. A little slow going
to
the opposite side.
There, you know, that whole getting into the review of was the guy in
well,
the crease.
The first one was goal interference.
Well,
we
that was the
that
first goal
too.
You're talking about, though. Right.
Well, the second one, too, at that Tuukka was a little slow getting to his opposite side.
But it was a good play, though.
All grown up.
I watched the games and I remember what happened.
But
exactly.
It was unbelievable skill. But it was a really good play that was set up by that defenseman. He faked the shot. He kind of he walked it down in there. You like that, walking it down.
Walking
in there.
It
walked
down.
It down in there. You know, Tuukka didn't know if he was going to shoot. Boom. Nice saucer pass across.
Ooh,
one time.
We got to get Wiggy on hockey play-by-play.
Yeah, can we? I asked him to do that before
the show. Yeah, I don't
know
if I could do hockey
Rob play-by-play. Rob is into these play-by-play competitions. Yeah.
Why not? Would we rather talk about, I don't know.
I did a tremendous.
Anything else?
I did my Red Sox play-by-play.
Right, it was excellent.
Yeah.
To this day, I still don't know why Jerry gets so riled up that I am asking him to do play-by-play.
Because it comes from you, I think.
Of course it does. I know the reason why.
Rickman's got to find his location. This is a very, very critical out here. No outs, bottom of the seventh, Yankees down 3-1. You got to keep it down in this situation here. See if you can get him to ground into a double play. Here's the pitch. Looking for it down low.
They did bring this up.
Gotta
the crickets.
Be careful there. Can't miss up high.
I live in the country.
You don't live in the city no more. Let me tell you.
My mother lives in the city.
3-1 in the count. City. Ball just a bit up high. I thought it caught the...
Well, in fairness, usually baseball broadcasts are
top half of it.
Right. Why would I want to live in the city anyway, right? I grew up in the city.
Because you got no street cred. That's why. You got no... With those crickets in the background, no street cred there.
My street cred is long gone. That sounds leafy. I'm in the suburbs right now.
So you tried to do that. That was from this week.
And I did play-by-play with a little analysis in there because I said he's got to keep it down.
The energy, that was Reamer-esque energy.
Well, but baseball.
Well, it's baseball, right?
It's baseball,
explained
you
explained
know,
this earlier.
Listen, as someone who has done many, many mediums when it comes
have
to baseball,
done it with,
I've done Nesson. I've done WEI.
Have you done it with your wife and kids in the background?
Actually, I have.
Screaming?
That's going to be on July 4th. If you haven't seen the schedule,
AM radio back.
There you go. That is, you know, we're rotating these people in. My wife is going to, and myself are going to join Joe.
Right, but you're going to have kids in there.
They're going to be in the fifth inning.
Rob brings his kids into
the game. There was a lot going on there, and I wasn't even flustered one bit.
Focus was incredible.
Yes, I was able to stay on it with the crickets, the wife,
and
the
off
kids.
The monitor. I mean, we gave Will Fleming a lot of accolades when he did that here. I mean,
Wiggy
did the same thing.
I know,
exactly.
I want to do the power rankings of who can do it best off of TV. And Jerry doesn't want to get involved.
When I was 12 years old, I narrated the 2004 Red Sox World Series.
How do you think you got this job?
TV.
I mean, there was on your reel.
That was right there, yes. I used to also record fake radio segments.
Along with my positive tweets, I also sent that my audition to Joey.
I am your host. They call me
Alex Reamer. Deeper voice then than I do now.
With the play-by-play. So I sent Joey
you
all
did?
Stuff.
You said,
yes.
You said you were real?
Yeah, I sent him my play-by-play that I did the other day.
Yeah, on top of the stack of the positive text messages.
Yes.
So we now know... You have documented proof that you can do baseball.
Yes.
You said you couldn't do hockey. It's good, you know, first item of addiction is denial.
I did football this weekend when I did my Madden. I did the.
Yeah, you were down at Foxwoods.
I was in Foxwoods and I did the Madden Challenge play series where it's where they're.
Is that online somewhere?
It's probably out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's out.
You're a competitive Madden player?
No, I'm not a competitive Madden player, but there were competitive Madden players.
He was announcing it.
Yeah, I was doing the color commentary for the game. Of the Madden, these, you know, four guys played got there and the winner got like $1,000 or so.
That actually I would like to hear. I would like to hear your play-by-play of a video game.
And that's exactly what it was. I was the Tony Romo of Madden in 2019.
What's going
to
happen
here? He's
going
to have to go to the cover two here.
Is that he's going to hold down the A button along with the button on the side.
Mash those buttons. I was never a good Madden player. I was always, you know, I always got beat by my friends.
Well, that's the big thing now. They do like now.
Oh, very competitive.
You know, they do a ton.
Well, the big one is David Price's Fortnite. I mean,
which went away in a hurry.
Everybody
else in the clubhouse played it, but evidently he did not.
But nowhere else. Well, I think. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I would say this is that so you haven't done. You don't want to do hockey. You've done Madden.
You've done baseball.
That's what I was going to ask you. And this is my pro segue.
This good transition.
Yeah, you could do basketball.
I could do color commentary for
you
basketball.
Could.
Yes.
Would it be better in baseball?
Yes, because I was
wait color commentary, or could you do the play by play?
I do the color commentary.
Okay. Like Scal.
Like Scal.
You could be, what you're saying is that you could be better at Scal than he is at his job.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do what Tommy Heinsohn does. That's what I could do. Basketball is my wheelhouse, baby.
I don't know if Wiggy is a homer enough for the Comcast crew.
I grew up a Celtics.
Enough of a homer.
I grew up a Celtics fan.
I'm just kidding.
And I was a state champion in basketball. Boston.
I just want to
growing
go.
Up, played
wow!
In the Garden.
So state champion in basketball.
Yes.
All city catcher.
Yes. All. Yep.
Star of the beer league in hockey, not the bear league. The beer league.
Yep.
The beer league. I mean, this guy.
Tremendous basketball player.
You. I just want to make sure that we're on record. You say that you can do a better job than Brian Scalabrine can at, yeah, at being the color commentator.
I don't listen
Celtics.
To Scal, but I know I'm very good, so he'd have to be extremely good.
How about Tommy, though? You can't boot out Tommy. Tommy's an
classic, though. Hey, listen, yeah. Tommy's the man. I love. I could definitely bring some of that hate that Tommy brings towards the officials and not getting the calls.
So is a sweep today? Is that it? This series over by 3 o'clock?
Celtics wrap this thing
Seems
up.
Seems like it.
That's not really the conversation at this point. The conversation, besides the ratings, will the Celtics get better ratings than the
no,
Bruins?
No, not today.
Ever, no, well, ever, the reason ever, why ever, the ever. Celtics won't get better ratings today, it's
oh,
very
not simple. Today, not today.
Well, yeah. but the reason...
In the second round, they will. Celtics right. Bucks would outrate Bruins right.
The point I was going to make, the only reason why is because, you know, the Bruins are facing elimination. The Celtics are up 3-0 in the series.
And it's a more entertaining series. Right. I mean, Bruins, it's been... the games are great. They're close. They're competitive. Yeah. These Celtics
Pacers
games...
If this was game 7... of the Celtics and Pacers,
right.
I think now you could make an argument as far as ratings.
Nor if there would be a game 7, you know, and you would have to hit some shots.
So I attempted to write about this. Wiggy, I'm sure you read it. But it's the whole postseason thing. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie is the hot button topic for this right. team, right? And so my thing was, how are we going to view Kyrie on May 30th, which is when the NBA Finals begin? Mm-hmm. Because the postseason, we went through, you guys have done shows at Kyrie, what a jerk, what a loudmouth, so forth and so on.
Still get some light up, by the way.
But we've already started seeing this, right? What the postseason does to the narrative for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Three games into the postseason, right. all of a sudden, the conversation that we had a week and a half ago has completely changed.
And that was Kyrie's point throughout the regular season. He kept saying, doesn't matter, talk to me come the playoffs, talk to me come the playoffs.
And when he said that,
we scoffed at that.
When he said that, people were saying, what a jerk. What are you talking about?
And it did come off as
jerky. Everyone's like, yeah.
It did come off as jerky. Well, when you score 37, right. and I mean, Kyrie had a...
When you're averaging 25 points a game and eight assists
so
in the postseason, it's like, and you see about the big time clutch shots, this team would be
and,
nowhere
or
without
Or even
Kyrie.
The steal off Bogdanovich Friday night, and then he hits the fade away, it puts the Celtics out. I mean, that's
go
it.
Go back to
that's an $180 million sequence
March
right there.
When Kyrie was out for a few games and they play well and everyone said...
Yeah, they were playing crap teams, though. We went over
yeah,
that
Yeah, okay,
schedule.
Okay. Let's go back to when they got their doors blown off against Houston. I think mm-hmm. it was at the Garden and everyone's like, you don't need Kyrie. Kyrie's the problem. It's hero ball, this and that. And you get rid of Kyrie and you figure it out from there. They'll be a better team. Well, the one thing that has shown throughout this postseason is mm-hmm. that's the dumbest conversation
of all time. Well, that's because people are morons.
People still think it, though. On Thursday night, I started with that exact point, that all you anti-Kyrie people, how do you like him now? And I still had people calling up saying they would rather have Marcus Smart start at point guard.
Well, it goes back to what Bradford just said about me as being a bad guy in the locker room on his hockey team
yep.
or in his pickup basketball. He would rather sacrifice winning than have a guy that might be a little
because
bit...
Because I was in for the long term.
Right, but with Kyrie, the only thing that... The reason why people are kind of like... You know, not split on Kyrie, but there's a few morons out there like Marcus Smart is because he hasn't signed that extension. Once Kyrie signs the extension and he's here for the next 5 years, people will be like,
But he also, though, this year did stick the proverbial finger at the fans several times.
Yes.
Talk to me, ask me about free agency July 1. I don't know anyone bleep.
He doesn't. He made and people are going to go back to the comments that he made at the preseason where it was, you know, he knew that there was the season ticket holders there. He's placating to the fans. I would love to see my number up there amongst the greats. That's what everybody does. Then he gets in the...
I'm going to sign the contract in 8 months.
Well,
yes.
But that's what he said. He said that before the...
I know.
Before the thing, he already let us know that he wasn't doing anything until he was a free agent, right? Even before that whole preseason season ticket thing. Then he gets frustrated because of the questions, and we know he wears his emotions on his sleeve. They ask him a question during a frustrating time, and he goes, ask me come July 1st.
Yeah, people don't like outspoken athletes if they're a bit mercurial, and that's what Kyrie was at many points this year. 617-779-7937. How about the people, Rob? Let's open this up to the people as well. Do you feel differently about Kyrie Irving, not on May 30th, but April 21st?
Well, if he goes 0-for-20 today,
it still doesn't matter.
Or if they go to Milwaukee, they get swept, and he stinks. Are you going to be saying the same stuff? It doesn't matter what he says.
Well, he'd have to stink though, and I don't see that happening.
All right. Well, we'll
pick this up on the other side. Reamer, Wiggy and Bradfo.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Right back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I am of the mindset that when it's crunch time and I need somebody to deliver a basket, to be money, to find a way to make something happen, I'm looking at Kyrie Irving. I've seen Kawhi Leonard. I know how big time he is. I know what a superstar talent he is. I'm talking about when you need a bucket. When you need a bucket. I just think Kyrie Irving is built for these moments. I really, really, really believe he's built for these moments. He lives for it. And he's just that special kind of dude.
So it's some good Stephen A. sound. The real Stephen A. sound I want from this week is him going to the wall defending Max Kellerman in Fartgate. Yeah, in First Take. Have you been following this story, Rob? It's a huge story.
Are you kidding me? Other than your guys' race is the biggest story of the week.
Massive story. Stephen A. on Thursday, still, days later, defending Carmen's honor. And we'll get that later. But that's Stephen A. on Kyrie. I mean, you watch him do what he did in Game 2. You watch him close in Game 3.
It's hard to disagree now. But this is why the postseason conversations are so fraudulent. And they always are. They are for every sport. And I use the example of guys getting money. And you know this, Wiggy. You probably remember this guy, the Larry Brown, the cornerback, who made two interceptions. Mm-hmm. Neil O'Donnell was thrown right to him. The ball hit him right in the chest. He makes two interceptions in the Super Bowl. He gets the big contract from being Super Bowl MVP from the Oakland Raiders, right? He was playing for the Cowboys.
Right.
And he did it because a guy threw him a ball on the Super Bowl in one game. Nathan Eovaldi gets a four-year, $68 million contract.
Your pal Joe Kelly
gets a three-year deal. And if the season ended at the end of September, you're talking about maybe minor league contract. So with Kyrie, it's not necessarily about the money, but it is about the perception. Because it's... we're talking about all these things. You said, Wiggy, it doesn't make, you know, what he said doesn't make a difference, so forth and so on. They go to Milwaukee. They get swept. He plays like crap. And then maybe along the way he says something stupid. Then all of a sudden, in a matter of a week and a half.
Of course, Rob. He plays like crap, Rob, of course.
In one series. Why are we talking this way now?
I think what you're missing the point with that analogy is that when you think about Nathan Eovaldi, Kelly, Brown, the problem, those players prior to that, they were just average Joes.
Just average Joes.
When you look at Kyrie Irving, basically his career, you know, you look at him as his career playoff numbers, right? And he's been in the postseason, three, four seasons? He averaged 25.
Oh, he's been dynamite.
He averaged 25.
I know. Hit the series winning shot in 2016. Right. And that's the point, too.
In the words of the great Lou Maloney or Glenn Ordway, I get them mixed up. You're making my point.
How is that making your point?
Because
prior to Nathan Eovaldi
because
good
what the guys that I threw out there
they
were perceived in a different light positively.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Exactly. Right. So the postseason pushed them along in a positive way. What I'm saying with Kyrie is that the postseason, we're sitting here now saying Kyrie is awesome.
Well,
because
we've seen him do it.
Right, but all of a sudden now people can be screaming and yelling in a week from now saying, this guy, I don't want him around. Yeah,
but Rob, this is all predicated on, I think, a false notion that he's going to play poorly in the second round. He's never done that in his career, not shown up for a playoff
series.
Kyrie
Irving has a track record in the postseason, unlike those other guys that you talked about. Even in the regular season, Nathan Eovaldi, prior to last year's World
Series,
you look frustrated.
Right.
So are we not getting your point? Because the way I understand is you're saying if Kyrie plays poorly next round,
people are going to turn on.
My point
is that how key decisions are made and key narratives are formed and opinions are made off of a matter of 2 weeks.
Once
again, you're making my point. I agree with you. I agree that we should not view Kyrie Irving any differently. Like, I mean, we should have viewed him differently coming into this series. But we've said this before. Even in the last three games, the conversation with Kyrie Irving has changed. And my overall point, like Kelly Olynyk, right?
Well, it hasn't changed, though, for those of us who actually, you know.
For you smart people.
The smart people, yes. Who view things from the obligatory 10,000 feet. And I've been saying all along, as annoying as Kyrie Irving is at times, this team needs him.
You took plenty of calls, Alex. You've had plenty of these conversations along the way while you were saying this team needs him. That's a stupid conversation. And you have plenty of people saying, no, no, no. Look at the pregame shoot around in New York. Look at what an idiot he looked like. Well, I think we all agree. You cannot win anything without the likes of Kyrie Irving going forward.
Right.
I mean, even beyond this year. I mean, to think that you are going to have this NBA team, the gritty gutty NBA team, where there is going to like the Gene Hackman four passes,
right,
and you're going to get it done.
Well, I had an argument with the two morons in the morning on Jerry.
That's a good jingle.
And Jerry and Mutt, who said to me that if Kyrie and KD went to the New York Knicks, because you know, there's now it's like, what's Kyrie going to do? What's KD going to do? That they said that. They felt like the Knicks wouldn't be the best team in the Eastern Conference just with those two guys going there. And I was like, are you out of your mind? You look at what Kyrie's been able to do in the postseason. You talk about Kevin Durant. That's why if you're the Boston Celtics, and I know Danny Ainge doesn't have much power on the decision of what Kyrie's going to do, but you have to tell Kyrie. You have to lay out every option. Hey, we're going after Anthony Davis. If that doesn't work, we're going after Kevin Durant. Kyrie, here's what we're doing. Here's how we want to build this team. Because if you have a guy like Kyrie who's proven it since he's gotten the league, this guy is a guy you build your team around.
Oh, of course.
And he's shown us why this series. It's been a reminder to people.
Well, it's a reminder that you can actually have a guy like that and still have the rest of the team. Because I'll go back to, I was on after that Houston game. Actually, it was on during the Houston game. It was the best ratings we've ever had going up against a Celtics game. Mm-hmm. And you can't have Kyrie. He's a ball hog, and they're much better. Look at what happens when he's not on the floor. They move the ball so much better. No, you cannot, and I think you guys would agree, you cannot win in the NBA without that type of player. And
well, look at the attention that Kyrie demands. Even look at Friday night. He drives in. Attracts the attention, then he kicks out to Horford for the big three late in the fourth. I mean, game two, he didn't take a single shot in the final 3 minutes.
He's having the best year statistically in assists, not just in the regular season, but in the postseason.
Career high.
He's averaging 8 assists in the postseason this season and all to go along with his 25 points. He understands his ability to break down the defense, and I don't want to get all Glenn Ordway on you, movement of the ball.
It's the movement of the ball,
But to kind of, you know, like I said, this is why I could be a color commentary guy for basketball. His ability to break down the defense by getting to the rim, which then allows that defense to now collapse on him, and now his ability to kick it out to the open guy is unlike any other player in the league.
I agree. Movement? You're talking about the movement of the ball.
We need that. Thank you, Glenn.
Broken jaw. I can agree with you. I agree with you. But the thing is that, so why was this conversation for Kyrie? What was the impetus for this conversation about Kyrie Irving, which we all heard? Let's not pretend that this didn't happen.
Well, because he was annoying and the Celtics were struggling.
The Celtics stunk.
Okay,
that's why.
So he was annoying. And they were losing. The reason they were losing in a lot of people's minds.
Right.
Bizarrely, was because of Kyrie Irving.
Well, because he was loud.
Well, no,
I don't
think that was the case.
I don't think it was the case either. But people were saying
any,
that.
I don't think any person believed the reason why the Celtics.
Ooh. Oh, that's
I think
not,
I
that's
disagree.
Not true.
I think we took those calls all the time.
Right, but
we were
I think the problem was.
I don't know what you're doing time when people you were. Folk going to Shake Shacks with mud.
Shake spots.
Whatever. And Shake Shacks.
Went 9-2 without Kyrie against crap teams. I think you know, 99% of those people that called in, if you were to say, is this people were only saying that because of what he said, talk to me come July 1st. And that was the thorn in people's side. It wasn't his play on the, if he was playing badly, then you could say, that's why.
So that's a challenge to the people. It's 617-779-7937. It's a challenge to the people. Wiggy says that there are people that no one actually thought the Celtics were better off without Kyrie Irving. We took those calls. Do you have the thoughts changed? That's our question.
Yes. I don't think so. They're 3-0.
All I'm saying is the postseason, it makes people stupid. makes the Miami
recency bias. Right?
No, it makes
even executives stupid. And the Miami Heat signed Kelly Olynyk to a 4-year, $50 million deal in part because he scores 27 points in one game.
No, but see, yeah,
but again, Kyrie Irving is a great player. Kelly Olynyk.
But what I'm saying is that this is a great point. Player. If he has a bad game,
it won't affect him at all in free agency.
But it's going to affect him. Maybe it'll affect the perception. Maybe it'll affect the outcry. And then, in turn, maybe it'll affect how he views the fan base.
We got to hit a break. Let's pick this up on the other side. Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.